All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by the Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
A little bit late today. Why? There was a lot going on. We had the Daily Faceoff live trade deadline special that just wrapped up around 1:30 Mountain. Boys jumped on for a quick episode of Oilers Nation every day. And now they're back in the studio for a podcast real quick. Tyler, how are you doing? You exhausted?
Good. My bum has been in this exact green chair for a long time. It's been a long time.
I want to start off by saying I thought you did a great job hosting this year.
Thank you.
Third year doing it.
I have to step in and say, I think you did a terrible job.
Yeah, you did a bad job.
I stumbled on a couple ad reads at the end.
I think that doing 5 hours of live broadcasting like you did is impossible. And you did a great job.
And I think just to add to that, I the evolution of this show has been like spades from what we used to do to what we're doing now. Unbelievable to watch. Great job by the whole team.
Yeah. I want to go into the show a little bit too, before we get started on the weather stuff. If you noticed, at one point there was nearly 100,000 live viewers on Twitter alone. On YouTube, 3,500 live viewers at one point, more than the Spit and Chicklets live broadcast, more than the TSN live broadcast on YouTube. Just a really, really great effort by everybody behind the scenes and on camera for the Daily Faceoff live trade deadline special. I thought it was really, really well done. So congratulations, dude. It was a really, really great job.
Yeah, man. I'm really happy with the way that turned out. And I mean, I'm no dummy. I know what Frank Saravalli brings to the table, and I get to do a panel with two other NHLers or former NHLers. So they were all just absolutely fucking nails. But to sit there and see the little number crawling, and like when it hit 90,000 on just Twitter alone, then I looked and I think we were like 4,200 on YouTube. And I was just kind of like, holy shit, there are like almost 100,000 people listening to me talk about hockey right now. It's really cool, man. I love seeing what we've built. And it's just not just DFO Live. It's this show. It's ONE. It's all that stuff. Like, these deadline Fridays are crazy and hectic, but they're fun.
Looking at the websites itself, Oilers Nation, despite the fact that the Oilers did nothing today, popping. Canucks Army, Canucks didn't do anything today, popping. Flames Nation, they got a late trade in there, crushing. TLN, minor trade, crushing. DailyFaceoff.com. Huge, huge day across the network. So I'm just really proud of everybody, and everybody was rowing in the same direction. Everybody's pulling on the same rope. And I just thought it was a fantastic day of content from across the Nation Network. The only downside as I see is that producer's room you guys were in stunk like man and shit.
Don't look at me.
You were popping in and out of there the whole time. I know.
Why do you think I was popping in and out? It wasn't
Liam was also directing the show. Mm-hmm. Congrats, Liam. Another great job by you as well. I know you're directing traffic. You were in and out on the phone.
It's very easy when you work with good people.
lots of great people. So shout out to all the guests that appeared on the Daily Faceoff Trade Deadline Show. Everybody behind the scenes, there was a lot of graphics. If you would have saw the social team, Dan, you were in the war room with me watching the social team yell at each other about breaking trades and making graphics.
Waz, Gavin, and Brett were just going back and forth all day. Just
and our boy Rob Munich down in Calgary.
Yep. Bobby Munich is doing magic down there. Yeah, just awesome to see it. And the graphic team ahead of time, too.
Lots of work
Kennedy
behind the scenes.
And Eric and
Zach Healy.
And yeah, it's Jazz. Just... It's cool to be able to be on this side of the camera now and watching all this stuff happen. And again, just kind of being a fly on the wall during all the chaos that was trade deadline day. It's awesome to watch.
Amazing job by everybody across the Nation Network. I'm really proud, like a proud papa, Liam.
Papa.
Liam also brought in a cricket ball today. I was playing with that thing for the last hour. Rock hard.
Yeah. That one will leave a bruise.
That'll leave a bruise. That'll break your hand. Let's get to business, boys. We got some stuff to talk about here. A polarizing day amongst the Oilers fan base. We've got a lot to talk about. And that leads into our delicious debate for our friends at Wendy's. Of course, Wendy's is letting you win real food and with your fantasy team this year. Thanks to our friends at Daily Faceoff, dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. You sign up. You think it's going to be easy. It's never easy. But you can win some great prizes. For those of you who smoke the competition, Wendy's is rewarding you with weekly prizes that will have you winning despite your lack of team building skills. Download the Wendy's app and score yourself 150 bonus reward points on your first order and grab the sweet, sweet victory from mouth-watering jaws of defeat along with fresh, never frozen beef. DailyFaceOffSurvivor.com, the delicious debate I've prepped today because the boys have been busy the last little bit. So I ask you, gentlemen, it's a very simple question today for our friends at Wendy's. Did the Oilers do enough? We know Adam Henrique, Sam Carrick, Troy Stetcher sent out some picks to make it happen. No roster players leaving Edmonton to get those players in. Still got a little bit of space under the cap. Probably can get some Corey Perry bonus overage in there this year so it doesn't get carried over to next year. The question remains, did the Oilers do enough? Dan.
Well, if you asked me ahead of the deadline to now, they did not do enough, in my opinion. The defense is still a hole for this team and has been an issue for this team for a couple of seasons. I don't think Stetcher coming in does fix that. What I will say to that point, though, is that bringing in Henrique and Carrick does help your team defense on the whole. So that is an improvement. But for me, especially seeing what the rest of the division did, and we can get into all that later, the Oilers just didn't do it enough for me.
Liam, you're up next. Did the Oilers do enough at the 2024 trade deadline?
I'm kind of balanced on it because I think they did do enough to make themselves significantly better.
They're better.
But there was obviously a place they could have added a little bit more, but also I just think it's like, who did you want them to get? You know, like people were complaining. It's like, you didn't get Tanev. It's like, well, they tried.
They offered something better than Dallas did.
Yeah. People were saying Sean Walker. It's like, well, Sean Walker wasn't exactly what they needed. And it's like, clearly Nashville weren't going to trade Alex Carrier. It's like, okay, well, where do you go? Mm-hmm. You know, like what was better than Cody Ceci? And by no means do I think Cody Ceci is a great player. I think they probably should have replaced him. But with what? And I think that's my biggest argument. So I know I gave Holland a 7 out of 10. For his trade deadline.
Dan, what's your grade?
Out of 10. Okay. Yeah. I'll say a 6 out of 10. Again, Liam, you make a great point. What could you have brought in otherwise? I'm not sure, but when I look at the package as a total, I just don't feel like it's enough, but so I'll say 6 out of 10.
Tired guy tie over on the end. Did the Oilers do enough for our friends at Wendy's?
Yeah. So if you want to go off the grades to start Owen every day, I gave Ken Holland a 4.9 and then
what?
Out of 10.
Okay.
And then by the end, I changed to a 5.9 because I realized that was a little harsh.
He wrote his name correctly, so he got that extra bonus.
Yeah. Say 6.
No, Liam.
It doesn't make sense.
What do you mean it doesn't make sense?
Just to leave 5. Room to grow.
9?
6 just seems
what?
Too nice.
5.9 what?
Out of 10.
No, or 59 out of 100.
Another number after the 9.
5.90.
Got me.
But do I think Ken Holland did enough? Yes, he did enough. Do I think he could have done more though? Yes, I like this trade. Henrique, Carrick, both help you. Henrique's an A-level ad. Carrick is a C-level ad. Stetcher's a C-level ad. I wanted a B-level ad. And there were factors that didn't work in their favor. I believe they were firmly ready to acquire Jordan Eberle.
I think they were going to.
I think if that contract doesn't get done when it did, like I'm talking when it did within the hour, I think we're sitting here in a totally different universe where Jordan Eberle's an Oiler and I'm giving Ken Holland a 9.5 out of 10 and talking about how complete this forward group is and all of that. That didn't work in their favor. Eberle wanted to stay in Seattle and you can't fault them for that, especially at this stage in his career when he's moved around as much as he has.
Maintaining the 5'9"?
I'm maintaining the 5'9" because I wanted one more forward. I would have liked Duclair. I think Tampa Bay got him for, you know, not as much as I thought he would potentially go for. I think he would have helped your forward group. I just look right now.
Duclair along with a 7th round pick went to San Jose for Jack Thompson and a 3rd round pick in 2024.
I wanted one more move. So did he do enough? Yes. Am I thrilled with the deadline though? No, because I just wanted one more move. I wanted that B level forward ad.
My grade is a 6.5 out of 10. It's a passable grade. C's get degrees, you know, but I can't help but shake the fact that outside, I mean, I know Matias Ekholm was at the dead loan last year, but essentially the Oilers are rolling into the playoffs. We hope, of course, with the same crew that got lit up by Vegas in the 2nd round last year.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a problem. I mean, they got outscored 5-1 at even strength, the Nurse CC pairing last year against Vegas in the 2nd round. Now there's other factors too. Nuge didn't score. Kane didn't score. Hyman wasn't scoring.
Nurse was hurt. Was he not banged up?
You're thinking the year before against Colorado.
That was when he had one leg.
Sorry, when he had the hip flexor. Yeah.
So, there was a lot more factors than just blaming the defense last year, but I would have liked a scenario where they went into this year's playoffs with an upgraded defensive group. Now, to Liam's point, they would have done that had Calgary shipped us Chris Tanev. That didn't happen. So what else do you do? I love the Adam Henrique ad. I think he gives all kinds of flexibility to the lineup. We're going to go through some new line combos from practice today and just kind of see where they are at now that he's here. I like Sam Carrick. Damn it, I give him all the credit in the world last night for scrapping a dude that's much bigger than him and getting his face pumped in a handful of times. By my count, rough count, don't have the exact math, probably 200 punches to the face. I like that. Troy Stetcher, I think, is going to be a valuable depth piece. How often is he going to play? Is he going to play his way past somebody on the lineup? We'll see. But 6.5, I think, is fair because you look at what happened around the Western Conference specifically. The Jets go out and get Toffoli. Vegas did what Vegas did, and we're going to go ahead and dig into that in a little bit. But some of the other teams around who have a chance in the Western Conference did more than the Oilers, and that's why I bring it down to a 6.5.
We're all like relatively in the same range. I think going, you know, if you're feeling like you're an 8 or a 9, I do think that's a little bit overly optimistic.
Like, I bet if Rick was here, he'd probably give him an 8 or a 9.
Oh, no, he'd give him a 10.
12 even.
Be through the roof.
If you're following, like, Rick has to actually work today, so he's not here. But, like, if you look at Rick's Twitter today, he's attacking all of us.
Yeah, I like the moves that did happen. I just really wanted one more. But I think another fair counterpoint to all this is how often does the team that wins the deadline win the Stanley Cup?
Exactly.
Basically never.
You think about last year. I think about the Bruins last year. They went all in at the deadline, got bumped in the 1st round. So to that point, you never know what can happen when you get to the postseason. But it's hard to ignore some of the issues that we had last year being carried forward into this season as well.
I think that's totally fair. Like, I think it's, everybody knows that they needed to upgrade on defense. It obviously didn't happen. We'll see what happens. I'm curious to see what happens when, I'm assuming, Vinny Desharnais outplays Cody Ceci the rest of the season and Troy Stetcher comes in and maybe he outplays Ceci in some games. Like, are they going to scratch Cody Ceci? If push comes to shove, there hasn't been that competition that would force him out of the lineup in the past 3 years since Chris Russell was
Had depth on the right side.
Never, right? Okay, that's what I thought. So we'll see. But one other thing I want to say about this trade deadline too, which is one thing that's getting glossed over quite a bit. The Oilers didn't lose a $9 million player and magically just get all this cap thrown on their laps. Mm-hmm. The Golden Knights had to lose Mark Stone. The Tampa Bay Lightning had to lose Sergachev. Like, obviously, Landeskog's been out all season for Colorado, so they're a bit different, but it's just like, Ken Holland, limited space, and I know some of it's his fault, obviously Jack Campbell being one of them, was like, I think he did a pretty good job for what they had. Like, all season, all we spoke about is like, the Oilers have very little money. What are they going to be able to do? It's like, well, you brought in a player that can probably play in your top 6 in Henrique. Worst case scenario is your 3C.
Top nine.
Yeah, top nine, whatever it may be. So there's an upgrade there. Sam Carrick's better than all three of the fourth liners you were playing all season.
How dare you?
And Troy Stetcher is better than Marcus Niemelainen. Minor upgrade for sure. But like,
he's a major upgrade on Nemo.
Yeah, that's fair. I just meant within the
his problem, as far as I can tell, Troy Stetcher is that he's not that big.
Which is surprising that they even acquired him. Because usually Holland is 6'1" or bigger.
Yeah, size queen.
Nothing else. Mm-hmm. The only two players they have in a defense that are shorter than 6'1" are Cam Denis and Troy Stetcher, two players they acquired at the deadline. Kind of weird how that worked out, but I don't know. I think I'm not excusing Holland by any means. Like, I wanted Eberle, I wanted Toffoli, whoever it may be. But I think all things considered, the Oilers got better this mm-hmm. past couple of days. And I think that needs to be considered for a lot of people who are saying they're not going to make it past the first round. The Vegas Golden Knights are eighth in the Western Conference. They have to win.
They're in the second wild card spot.
But they got to win.
Okay,
and they probably will.
But. Yeah. And if you want me to defend that a little, they've gone on this slide missing Theodore for a stretch, exactly. missing Eichel for a stretch, missing Stone for a stretch at times, both. Like, but if the Oilers were missing McDavid and Drysdale and we're in eighth, we'd be singing a different tune.
But those guys aren't still on in the lineup.
Eichel's back, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, Eichel's back, but they might keep losing here. They have Detroit next, and they have Seattle and Calgary, I think, in that order. Three pretty big games for them. I ultimately think Vegas will make the playoffs, but it's not like they're sitting first in the West, just cruising through it all. They might have to play Vancouver or Dallas in the first round.
The Tyler Toffoli is, like, I wanted Eberle too. But then you see the contract extension come in with Seattle early this morning. You go, fuck, okay. Toffoli was my guy.
Yeah.
Especially when you see that the Jets got him at 50% retained for a second round pick in 2025 and a third round pick in 2024. To me, that is just like, I would have loved to find a way to weasel in on that somehow.
Well, I think it was Tyler or maybe Zach in the war room, the Oodle Noodle war room, that was saying that, like, it's not so much that he didn't get those people that you wanted. It just feels like there wasn't a plan C and a plan D and a plan E, whereas Vegas went to plan Z and you know, again, I don't think anybody looks at the Hurdle edition and is like, oh, they fixed everything and they're going to win the Stanley Cup. But there's a team that saw a need and went digging through rosters to try and figure out an option that they would like to be able to look at.
And actually, that's a good point too, because I want to use that and counter it with something Liam and I have both been saying on Owen every day. We've been very vocal in the name the defenseman they should have gone. Find the upgrade on Cody Ceci. And like, Frank Saravalli ended our Daily Faceoff broadcast by giving Golden Knights credit, saying, Frank, one of the most plugged in men in all of hockey, did not hear a whisper that the Sharks were considering moving Hurdle.
He was hurt. He's been hurt since when?
Yeah.
January 27th.
But Vegas just made it happen. Mm-hmm. And if I think that's another reason why you can maybe be a hair disappointed in the Oilers, is because you watch Vegas, who, you know, with no cap space, with minimal assets, go and get Mantha and Hanifin to start. And you're thinking, okay, do they have room? They put that, excuse me, weird condition in on the Calgary trade. And it's like, okay, they're clearly still open to trading their first rounder. And then to go get a guy that no one in the hockey world thought was available, it makes me sit there and go, why couldn't the Oilers have, again, this is just my disappointment in the day a little bit. Why couldn't we have walked away today going, how the fuck did Ken Holland get that guy?
Our friend Steven Ellis from dailyfaceoff.com tweeted this. If you're thinking about, and Vegas, like, they're all in always. Let me walk through their first round picks since 2017. 2017, Cody Glass, Nick Suzuki, Eric Brandstrom, all gone. Their 2018 pick, gone. Peyton Krebs was 2019, gone. 2020, Brendan Brisson, they still have him. 2021, Zach Dean, gone. 2022, traded the pick. 2023, David Edstrom, traded. 2024, this year, they still somehow have their first round pick this year.
I don't know how that worked out.
How that happened is beyond me. 25, 26, both gone first round picks. So they are going all in every year, full stop, all gas, no breaks.
And if our friends at Bet99 had odds on this, whoever they pick in the first round this year with that 2024 first,
he's not going to be here.
I guarantee you by the draft in 25, he's gone.
Well, they might have to use that first round pick to get rid of contracts in the offseason to try and fit him
like
in.
Like that hurdle contract that they're probably going to trade in the summer.
But that's the thing. And that's where I think the fan becomes a fan. And then you expect out of your GM to do GM work. And yes, McCrimmon made himself some work in the offseason, but that's the offseason problem. He's just thinking about this regular season and the Stanley Cup Finals.
There's a quote from McCrimmon.
There you go.
What do you got?
From Gary Lawless.
We're both looking at the same tweet.
What do you got, Liam?
He says, Kelly McCrimmon asked why Golden Knights make more move big deals than other teams. And he said, we pay. End quote.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
Right. I guess part of the disappointment I have too is that this is Ken Holland's last trade deadline as Oilers GM.
So I completely agree.
And he didn't push all the chips in.
I think it's interesting. And Kelly McCrimmon was obviously the general manager of the Brandon Wheat Kings. And he has brought that junior mentality of trading everything you have to the NHL. And he is one of 32 that do that.
He is unique.
He is the only one.
Completely unique.
Like, we complain about Ken Holland, and rightfully so in most ways. But it's not like every other team in the league went out and made crazy deals like Thomas Hurdle today, is it?
No.
And they just find a way because they have this thing where it's like, I don't care. They somehow got two third round picks in this deal.
But I think that
what is my career doing is what I want to know.
You're an Oiler.
I think that the league might be a little bit cyclical, just in the sense that like Tampa used to be that team where we thought, they're always all in. And then yes, they got burned on a big offseat or a big trade deadline around Tanner Janot. And then they've really kind of become trigger shy after that. So
I don't think they have any picks left.
Well, that's part of the issue when you go that crazy.
But you're jumping ahead to my next segment, boys. So let's get into it for our friends at Snow Valley. Think about our winners and losers of deadline day today. Okay, boys, winners and losers. While I do the plug, the Snow Valley Aerial Park is opening on May 31st. But if you ask Waz, it's open now. It's been open his whole life. He's been there. He hasn't been there. He might've been there.
He was a part of building it. Actually
probably built it. Family fun is all summer long. Attractions include the Aerial Tower, the White Mud Creek Mining Company, Target Golf, which I'm excited about. I think as a crew, we should go do some Target Golf this summer. And the all new mini golf. Creekside Eats will be open for snacks and refreshment. Watch on hill events all summer long. EPL Sounds of the Valley returns Tuesday nights with music and authors at the Creekside Eats. They also have a Rainbow Valley Campground. This summer, take advantage of over 60 sites and 3 comfort camping domes right here in the city. Edmonton's only camping ground. You want to camp? rainbow-valley.com. Gentlemen, let's start off with our losers. I'm going to go around the horn. I want to know who lost big at the trade deadline. For me, I'm going to start because I'm selfish. One of my big losers is the Los Angeles Kings. They did not get a goaltender to upgrade David Riddick and Cam Talbot. I think as much as their team is good, having those two as your goalie tandem going into the playoffs is not good. So they are one of my big losers. The LA Kings did not figure out a way to get their goaltending solved. And then you look at a team like the New Jersey Devils, they basically rebuilt their goaltending in just a day.
Like the whole shebang. They're now sitting there. The Devils before is like, God, no goalies. And now it's like, okay, you have Akira Schmid and Nico Daws as the youngsters. And now you have Kakinen, who's young in his own right. And Allen, who's under contract. It's wild to see what the Devils did, but I'm with you. I'll just piggyback on you for the losers. The LA Kings are major losers right now at the deadline. I'll ask you guys this. The 8 teams that are in a playoff spot right now, it feels like they're going to be the 8 teams that are in come April.
I disagree.
Who do you think falls out?
Vegas.
Okay, enough of you. 8 teams that are in right now feel like they're the 8.
So let's walk through them, Tyler, real quick. In the Western Conference, in the Central, we got Dallas, Winnipeg, Colorado. In the Pacific, we got Vancouver, Edmonton, LA. The wild card teams currently, as of March 8th, Nashville and Vegas.
The only team that didn't add is LA. If you right now could handpick who the Oilers play in round one, I'm picking the LA Kings every single day of the week. Their goaltending stinks. Their forward group has not looked as good as I thought it was. And you could argue is not as deep as it was last season.
They gave up a lot to get PLD.
Yeah, they're the most beatable team out of those 8 right now.
Liam, who you got? Who's your big loser on NHL trade deadline day?
Just taking a look at the standings here. I think the Rangers missed out on a bit of an opportunity.
They didn't do anything today, did they?
No. Well, they got Jack Roslovic.
Who was like a third liner in Columbus for most of the year.
So that's not ideal. I would say them. I'll also say a team like Seattle. I don't think they should Tita. You're either in or you're out.
I'm surprised. Like, I know why they would want Jordan Eberle, but like, I'm surprised they didn't go, all right, Jordan, we're going to trade you. We're going to get some assets. July 1st, come on back.
I agree.
I am surprised by that too. I know it never works out that easily.
Unless you're Troy Stetcher. He's done it in Arizona 2 years in a row,
which is
Nick
such a
Bukestead?
Ball. Stetcher, baller move though. To have a place like Arizona where you can just go chill and then just be like, hey guys, we're still good on our deal. You're going to move me to a contender every March. And they're like, yeah, we got you, Troy. And the next contract's in the mail already. You're coming back July 1. But yeah, I don't know.
Right now, Seattle has Thomas Tatar, Pierre-Edouard Belmar, and Justin Schultz is unrestricted free agents. And Chris Drieger in the minors too. They traded Wenberg. Mm-hmm. It's kind of indicated maybe they were going to continue to sell and then just didn't.
They just didn't. Dan, who you guys are the loser?
To me, it's the New York Rangers. They're the sixth best team in the league right now. They were in on Gensel. You've heard their name come up with a bunch of different options, and then all they come out with is Roslovic. So that's, for me, the biggest loser on the buying side. The selling side, I'm looking at Calgary. The return that they got earlier in the week for all of their picks, it lists like this. Shurganovic, I'm going to do the names terribly because, by the way, I just am not very good at Russian names. Shurganovic, Kuzmenko, Brustovich, Grushnikov, Gervo, and Suniev. And then a bunch of like conditional picks, a first round pick, and then the last trade that they did with Hanifin means they get another first round pick.
Not till 2026?
Exactly.
2025?
I don't know. To me, 26. Craig Conroy at the end of this, you know, with the story coming out about Hanifin really forcing his hand and sending him to Vegas, it just makes Conroy sound bad all around. But to me, Calgary, there should be more there. They should have more for what they sent out the door. But so Calgary is my loser on the selling side.
Other losers?
I was going to say that I know I said the Rangers were losers, but I think it's interesting that last year they went and got mm-hmm. Tarasenko and Kane and they went poorly.
Yep.
And now this year they
nibbled,
changed their approach a little bit.
Yep. But they were big.
They're the team that always goes in, right? They're usually going at the big dog.
But they were after the Gensel. I've heard their name with Gensel the whole time.
Yeah. And there were talks about getting, what's his nuts out of St. Louis, Buchnevich. Oh, yeah,
Buchnevich. Yeah. He didn't move today.
Nope.
I think that's the right move. I think St. Louis are pushing.
I was going to say, I was going to say St. Louis is a loser, but then I thought about it. And I think the people that they held were the ones to hold.
I think St. Louis is fine because they're in that weird spot where their contracts of the players that they actually want to lose are too long. And the players whose contracts are short are guys that they would probably want to keep. Like, you would want to keep a Kevin Hayes, a Buchnevich, like whoever it may be on that front, right? So I think they're going to worry about that stuff at like the draft or whatever.
Another team that's a little bit of a loser for me is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, adding Edmondson and
Labushkin. They didn't really do a whole lot of anything. Now, maybe that's a product of last year. They did a lot and didn't really go anywhere with it. But this could just be the Brad Treliving experience.
Are the Penguins a loser?
I think their whole season is a loss.
Didn't get rid of Smith. Man. Didn't get a ton for...
didn't get a first-round pick for Jake freaking Gensel, the best rental on the market.
And also, like, Ty Smith in that deal is... He's not worked out in the NHL by any means, so that's like a pretty sneaky ad buy.
So he Carolina gets...
No, I know, but he's still only like 22, 23 to like get in that deal as well.
Kind Carolina got Jake Gensel, 25% retained. They got Ty Smith. That's a D prospect there. Pittsburgh got Michael Bunting, Ville Koivunen, Vasily Ponomarev, Cruz Luscious, fucking great name. Conditional 2024 first round pick. And a conditional 2024 fifth round pick.
Cruz Lucius's brother's name is also sick.
Chaz.
Cruz and Chaz.
Cruz and Chaz Lucius. All right.
I think if I'm an NHL GM, I'm never trading for a guy I had previously on another team. The Bunting addition to that trade just makes it look so ugly to me.
I completely agree.
Because he's a pending UFA.
Yeah. No, he's not.
No,
he has term.
He has two more years left at 4.5.
No.
Let me double check.
Good Lord.
Yeah, like, he has a modified no trade clause.
It feels like Ken Holland trading for a Athanasiou kind of level of just.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a
first.
He's got a modified no trade for next year and then no trade protection in 2025-26.
Kyle Dubas. Overrated.
He is. Big again, time. I defended him a decent amount in Toronto just because I liked what he did to keep that core together. I like still believe in that in Toronto, but his ability to evaluate talent outside of star players is awful.
Well, and even the addition of Erik Karlsson really has sent them down this path.
But like he gave Noel Acciari a 3-year deal this summer. Again, just grabbing a guy who he liked in Toronto. Like he's not a good GM.
Gave Ryan Graves like too big of a deal too.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Just
for our friends at Snow Valley, let's talk about some winners. Who won the trade deadline, Tyler? Get it out of the way.
Okay, fine. I'll be the bad guy. Vegas won. That's unreal. Elite second liner, high end first liner, top pairing D-man. And they still have their first round pick this year. Fuck.
It's ridiculous.
Yep.
Anthony Manta, Noah Hanifin, and then today, Thomas Hertl. Unreal. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how this happens.
Again, I know the Mark Stone spleen thing is very serious and like obviously isn't like a, ooh, his back sore, wink. But this quote from Kelly McCrimmon is very funny. Just tweeted out from Friedman. Vegas GM Kelly McCrimmon confirmed Thomas Hertl is expected to return during the regular season. While Mark Stone had a lacerated spleen, Stone will miss the rest of the regular season. End quote. It's impossible to know what the timeline is.
Yeah, it's impossible. Could be anything. You've all seen the GIF from WWE where the guy's in the wheelchair and then he just stands up.
Stone cold.
But my new favorite WWE one is the one where Vince McMahon's laying in the hospital bed in a cast and the guy's just punching his leg.
Yeah.
And it's like the Vegas medical staff to Alec Martinez. Bang, bang.
Right before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Any other winners? You're up next, Liam. What you got?
I'm going to say a winner for me. Tyler said this one on ONE, so I'll steal it quickly. I liked Tampa Bay out in Dumba. Thought that was good. Did we say that on the show
too? Like, I'm not a huge Dumba guy, but at that price and may with what they needed, it's legit.
But I like what Nashville were able to do over this deadline a little bit. I think they actually have a sneaky good team. I don't know if they're definitely not a contender by any means, but I wouldn't be like, people just seem to brush them aside for the first round and forget that UC Soros is a goalie and they have Roman Josi. Like, Forsberg's good. And I think to add Zucker and Beauvillier, like two guys who have maybe been a little underwhelming this season, but still have a bit to give, is sneaky decent ads. So I liked what they did. We'll see how they can continue to push, but ultimately probably a wild card team that's going to give one of those top two divisional winners a run for their money in the first round.
Dan, are you guys a loser? Or a winner, I should say.
I wanted to say an additional loser was the Vancouver Canucks for not doing anything with Phil Kessel and leaving him as a free agent this season.
According to Big Dave Quadrelli, the quote from Rutherford is that he does not fit into their style of play.
But my winner, I think, would be, just because more so I didn't expect it, was the big fishing that Carolina did, going to get Guentzel. And who was the other guy?
Kuznetsov.
There you go. I didn't look at Carolina as a team that was really looking to add at this moment. And they went out and made big splashes. So, yeah, give it to Carolina.
Carolina's my winner, too, because I feel like every year at playoff time, they always go, well, they didn't have a game breaker. They didn't have a game breaker, a guy who can get that clutch goal when they needed one. And then they go out and get Jake Guentzel, big trade with the Penguins. And then they got Evgeny Kuznetsov for a 2025th third round pick at 50% retained. I thought what the Hurricanes did was pretty fantastic, really.
Yeah, the Kuznetsov thing is such a gamble, but you look and it's like, okay, if there's one locker room and one coach in the league that can probably straighten out Kuznetsov, and I don't even think it's a lock. I won't say it's a for sure thing. I think Kuznetsov might just be a lost cause. But if there's anyone that could do it, it's Rod. Like, Rod Brind'Amour is the coach who can snap you back into shape, right? So I think that's a pretty nice calculated gamble. I'm okay with them doing that. And Guentzel is just so clearly what they needed. Like, you're down late in the game, and now all of a sudden you can go Svechnikov, Guentzel, Aho over the boards. That's your game breaking line, and it's something they haven't had in the past.
Any other winners that you just kind of like what they did?
Winnipeg from the addition of Monahan to Toffoli today. Yep. Like, it's just, they're a good quiet team with Connor Hellebuyck in the net.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, they give up their first, second and third rounders now for Monahan and Toffoli. Could you look back in 5 years and be like, well, that didn't work. Sure. But at the end of the day, if you don't take your bat off your shoulder, you're never going to get a hit. And Kevin Cheveldayoff has long been criticized in that market for not taking his bat off his shoulder and sitting there every deadline doing little bits for fourth and fifth round picks. I give him full credit here. Year before the extensions kick in for Hellebuyck and Scheifele, he just says, fine, you guys have been playing great. You deserve it. Here's your two new toys. And they address key needs.
I was going to say the one other one I'll actually give one to San Jose. I think.
Really?
To get out of that money, like, they had all
they have
to
retain for 6 years, though.
1.3 million. They're not going to be good for at least.
And they had to give up 2/3 also as part of it.
Yeah, but like, you also got rid of like an $8 million guy, and
he's good.
Yeah, but they don't want to be good.
I don't.
And he's also 30. They never should have signed him in the first place.
Well,
but I think to get out of some of these deals is a good thing for San Jose to start trying to get where they want to be.
I was actually wondering if Mike Greer is trying to lobby for a position with the Golden Knights with that fucking trade that he pulled off today. I didn't get it at all.
Well, they're going
to have
$7 million in dead cap next year.
This was a point that was made last year when the Oilers got Ekholm, and it was like, hey, can you keep 4%?
Mm-hmm.
And in today's NHL, with how valuable retained salary spots are, it didn't make sense for them to keep 4% of Ekholm. Like, if you were Nashville, you should have been like, no, we're going to drive up the price. We'll keep half of Ekholm for you because the spot's almost worth more than the money, I feel like, when you look at the picks it can continually bring you. For 6 years to have money locked up under hurdle, I think you would have just been smarter to tell Vegas, like, give us something else. We'll keep half. We'll bite the bullet, but you're giving us something real good. We want Brendan Breese on, you know?
Maybe in a prospect back would be okay, but basically their entire team is gone next season.
Another thing with that hurdle trade for me is I wouldn't be surprised at all if Vegas trades him for future considerations like next summer. And San Jose is still on the hook for holding on that money.
For more picks than they gave San Jose.
I could absolutely see it. They traded Marc-Andre Fleury immediately after a Vezina season. They're going to do it again.
I got to give another hot performer out to Lou Lamoriello, who makes it 4 consecutive trade deadlines where he has done nothing.
Is that true?
Avoiding the grind.
Is that true?
Yes.
Hell yeah,
dude.
Like, it's incredible.
Okay. So
you have to respect that.
On one hand, in his defense, he got Bo Horvat like a month and a half before the deadline last year. So sure, he did that. But the fact that this Islanders team, like, they fall short every year, they're disappointing. And they just keep, like, they miss, or they, whatever. Yeah, they missed the playoffs last year. And what do? Their only offseason moves were a 7-year deal for Pierre Engvall, a long term deal for Scott Mayfield, and then they brought back Semyon Varlamov. That was their whole offseason. And then he sits there this year and is just like, nah, we're good. We'll make it work.
He's got a pretty cushy job there in New York.
Well, that red phone wasn't attached to anything. You know what I mean?
It's the private line.
For our friends at Snow Valley and Rainbow Valley Campground, some winners and losers from the NHL trade deadline. Hit us up, Owen Radio Podcast. I want to know who you thought were winners and losers based on my Twitter, Oilers Big Losers. That's what my Twitter mentions look like.
Big losers. They're not losers at all.
I don't think they're losers at all.
Still in, and we did this exercise on O&E. Go through like the 20 teams in the playoff window in the NHL this year. There are 8 to 10 fan bases who should be more disappointed than Oilers fans.
Mm-hmm. Without question.
Yeah. Like, again, I get it wasn't a dream. I'm with you. I am a little disappointed and a little frustrated that we didn't get another big move. But to sit there and act like the Oilers just blew the season up is just so false.
I completely agree. It's funny when people are like, they're not better than Dallas, Winnipeg, whoever it may be, Boston. It's like, well, they've beaten all these teams and they go toe-to-toe with them. It's not like they go into these tougher matchups and just get absolutely blown out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, even when they lost to Vegas, what was it, right after the All-Star break, you could argue the Oilers were the better team in that game.
They were, by far.
Aiden Hill was really, really good. But somehow the Oilers lose that game, and now they can never beat Vegas, despite actually beating Vegas this season.
Let's look at the Edmonton Oilers, because last night they played what was arguably their worst game in a minute. Really sloppy with the puck last night in Columbus.
Yeah, I said it was one of their worst games of the year, and I got kind of yelled at a little bit by
Hoomst.
Speck and Matheson were like telling me to calm down. I was like, the Oilers just shit the bed for 60 straight minutes. I didn't think they had a good stretch of 10 minutes in that hockey game. Am I wrong?
I thought they were better over the second and third, but because they outscored, you know, they they won the goal differential 2-1 over the final two periods. But when you're down a field goal 15 minutes into the hockey game, it's tough to win, and it doesn't matter who the opponent is.
Yeah.
I wrote it in 3 key things at OilersNation.com where it's like, yeah, we've seen the Oilers come back and win these games before. We've seen them come back and outscore bad teams before. But when you're giving up 3 to start the game like that, and they're all avoidable mistakes, just costly errors with the puck, it was so frustrating to watch. And in the comment section on OilersNation.com on Zach's day after article, it's like, oh, fucking Pickard. It's like, no, man, he was not the issue. The glaring giveaways for grade A chances, that's the problem.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of them.
The team just feels like right now to me, and this is just my observation, it feels like unbridled passion. There is just excitement coming from this squad at all turns. You see it with the Carrick fight last night. It was a move, and you understand why he did it, but it's not calculated by any means. And right after that, the team is still disjointed and all over the place, and they come and score the goal. Like, I do think that fight with Carrick is a good example of something where that could have turned the tide, but it really just feels like there's nothing going on that bench that's really like bringing these guys together where it's like, yeah, okay, guys, we watched that. Now let's do something with it. Instead, it's each individual goes out and gets excited or isn't. And it's just frustrating for me.
Boys got rattled watching Carrick get beat up.
But he popped his helmet.
He did pop his helmet. He got a couple of good shots in there, but he also took about 200 to the face.
Fact, go ahead. About Mathieu Olivier, I already told Dan this one, so don't guess.
Please.
He is the first. Well, first, where do you think he's from?
Judging by his name, somewhere in Quebec.
Yeah, you'd think like Maritimes. He is the first player from the state of Mississippi to ever play in the NHL.
Big French contingent down in Mississippi. Yeah,
well known for its French down there.
Yes.
Yeah, the first Frenchman from Mississippi to play in the NHL.
There you go. There you have it.
So is his name Olivier or is it just Oliver?
Yeah, it's probably just Matt Oliver.
Matthew Olivier.
Yeah, with the very very French spelling of Matthew as well.
I will say that anybody that expected Sam Carrick to come in and just punch the face off of other people, you're mistaken. Carrick doesn't win a ton of fights, according to hockeyfights.com.
He's just a willing combatant.
He just is always willing to go and is ready to police. And again, you saw it last night. Janmark's just getting fucked with. So Carrick says, you know what? Fuck the face off. I'm going to go and face off against you. And again, don't necessarily want to see him fight Olivier in that spot. I would have liked to have just seen him stand there and be like, try it with me, Matthew. But yeah, I mean, you don't expect
at
him
the same point though. You know what? It's his first game with the Oilers. He sees one of his new teammates getting roughed up a little bit. He tried to do something. And I always respect a guy who's going to dance with someone way bigger than him.
1,000%.
Trying to endear himself to his teammates. Yeah. I think you're right, man. I would maybe sit there and be like, is that the right play? If it was like 20 games into his career, but I commend a guy for just going there and being like, I'll stand up for you, Matty. Oh, Matty J. He's been looking at the recent box scores. Carrick knows nothing about those. He goes, this guy scored like 3 goals as of late. He's a star.
I heard him on ONR. They call him Score Mark. It's amazing.
I think he did some time in a prison.
It's amazing what a little time at Gitmo can do for you. I got to read this next part verbatim. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. That's 25% off, up to a $10 order and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and use the promo code NATION25. Don't forget, that's code NATION25 for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms do apply. We use DoorDash today. Stock the office up with Oodle Noodle. The Oodle Noodle War Room. They did a fantastic job. They got it here. Food was still hot. It was delicious.
Oh,
presented well. Shout out to everyone involved. The only thing we didn't do, though, is get the double dash. Just offer some Slurpees or something, you know?
That would have been unreal.
That would have been great. That's my fault.
Can you imagine the DoorDash driver grabs like 30 things of Oodle Noodle, then has to go fill up like 30 Coca-Cola Slurpees at 7-Eleven? Would have been great.
Do you want to do a quick game of Price is Right rules on how much our Oodle Noodle team order was today? 14 boxes, 2 double orders of spring rolls, 2 double orders of green onion cakes.
I'll say $210.
Liam, you played this, didn't you?
I don't know how much it was.
Do you want to play?
Yeah, I'll play. I'm all in. $302.56.
You're pretty close. $293.17 with the tip.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's a big order.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our friends at Oodle Noodle and, of course, our friends at DoorDash. Looking back at the last handful of days of your lives, gentlemen, it could be on the ice, off the ice, whatever you feel like, because it's deadline day and I'm being a little frisky. Tyler, who delivered for you for our friends at DoorDash?
Who delivered? I'm looking back at that game against the Blue Jackets. Obviously didn't go well. Oh, you know what? I'll take an easy one off the board. Leon Draisaitl, baby. I was really hard on him after that game against the Calgary Flames where he took the dumb penalty and he really didn't look like himself. Since then, I think he's been playing some great hockey. And I also think it's big for him to have a moment and a game like he did against Boston where it was like, I know Skinner played great and other players really brought a lot to the table, but like that game had the Leon Draisaitl stamp on it. Mm-hmm. Clutch goal with a minute to go. Is that the first time the Oilers have scored a goal with the net empty since Bouchard against Florida last year? Like, it honestly might be. I can't remember.
He also blew up Brad Marchand.
Blew up Brad Marchand. And then in overtime, hammers one home. I know it went off the defenseman. Don't care. Hammers one home. That game, a Leon Draisaitl signature game. It felt good to see one of those. And outside of the goals, I think he's been playing some really good hockey as of late.
Liam Horbin, for our friends at DoorDash, who delivered for you?
Who delivered for me? I'll take... Did they play? They played Boston after we recorded that episode.
Right? Yep.
Okay, so I'll say Stuart Skinner. Thought he was really good in that game. I think that save he made off the Bouchard turnover on, I think it was DeBrusk, was huge and basically huge. The reason the Oilers were able to go and win that game. So I'll say Stu. I think he's bounced back very well in his last few starts here from that little, what was it, 3 or 4 game stretch.
Yes, Dan, who you got for our friends at DoorDash? Who delivered for you?
Well, I did the Bruins game after dark, so you can go and check my delivery for that game. For this Columbus game, I'm going to give it to Zach Hyman scoring that goal really quickly after they changed the lines back to the nuclear option. And I was not even done my rant about how Woodcroft would have got fired for making this kind of a move. And then Zach Hyman made me eat my words. So, Zach, you get my delivery of the game.
I'm going to go back to Boston. The Edmonton Oilers do not win that hockey game had it not been for a back check by my boy Ryan Nugent-Hopkins to negate an empty net goal with less than a minute to go.
Back check, paycheck.
I don't know what is going on with him lately, but he is hauling ass backward and I love to see it. Ryan Nugent-Selke, it's not going to happen, but in my heart he is.
This will actually give him enough steam. He'll get votes.
He should get
votes. Just the way the voters kind of go, like this will stick in enough minds where he'll scoop up some fourth and fifth place votes this year.
He should, because that's twice in a matter of 10 days where he helped save a win, even though he doesn't get a good point on the play. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I'll double what Dan said. Zach Hyman, 43 goals on the year. He is everything you could ever hope to be. He has taken the baton from Ryan Smith as the hardworking favorite in this city. And I couldn't be happier with him.
That's great.
Anybody else?
Anybody else
deserve a little love?
Ken Holland. He delivered this week. Brought the Oilers 3 better players. The Oilers got better because Ken Holland made moves.
Didn't ship out any roster players.
That is a win in itself. I am happy that they didn't lose anyone. Mm-hmm. Like a Fogel. It's mainly just Fogel. I'm happy they didn't lose Fogel. Because I know he had that dumb turnover against Columbus, but I still think he's been skating real hard as of late.
Playing really well.
They promoted him after that turnover. Did you notice?
We got some new line combos. You want to talk about him, Liam?
I just want to say, Warren Fogel really lucky that Olivier didn't kill him later.
That was weird.
Well, so you know what happened there, right? Like the guy was, the Columbus player was hurt a little bit still, and he poked him with the stick, and Olivier saw that and fucking pounced.
He flew in.
And like I said, Fogel's just lucky he didn't decide to take the gloves off because it would.
Can I ask a question about the power play? What's the deal with Connor trying to dangle 4 guys in the slot lately?
He was really off against Columbus.
He's trying to dangle 4 guys in the slot on the power play all the time. And he's losing the puck like crazy. And I don't know what he's doing.
That's what I'm saying. Like this unbridled emotion. Like it just feels like they can't seem to reel it in and everybody is getting angry and then they're just spouting off in their own way. And McDavid just feels like he's spouting off by doing it all on himself.
Yeah. Like Draisaitl will do the very predictable thing. When you know Draisaitl's in a bad mood, he's taking a slashing penalty.
Oh yeah. Like he's going to stick somebody.
And Connor's almost like, you can tell when he's frustrated. Cause you're right, Dan. He just goes out there and is like, forcing, trying to do it all himself. And it's like so obvious that he's doing it. It's so dumb to be like, oh, McDavid's disappointing because he has like fucking 30 points in his last 10 games or whatever the hell the numbers are. But I watched that game against Columbus and I'm like, why does he feel so off tonight?
And I also just like, we need to figure out another pitch on the power play.
Yeah.
Like the pass over to Leon Draisaitl in his office. Listen, it's a hell of a pitch. When that thing works, no better play in sports or in hockey on the power play. But like everybody kind of sees it coming. Everybody knows it's there.
And they force it there. And like, I even think part of the problem is not just Connor forcing it to Leon. Sorry to cut you off. But I also think there's an element of when Leon gets the puck a lot of the times, you can tell he's only looking for Connor because they're trying to set up that play again. Like Leon's just looking across the ice. Where's Connor? Where's Connor? Where's Connor? It's like, man, they got to get Nuge, I think, a little bit more involved. There was a moment at the end.
I was just going to say, I think they would do themselves a world of good if they sent it over to Nuge and had him zipping pucks from over there.
Yep.
It'll open the ice up for them.
1,000%. You're bang on.
The Connor McDavid is 50 points away from 1,000.
I say he gets there.
22 games left.
21.
I say he gets there. We're celebrating it on the season opener next year.
2.5 points a game.
Oh, wait. They've played 61 games.
21 more then, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. We got some new line combos to talk about, gentlemen. Let me float these out here for you, courtesy of our friend and friend of everyone, Bob Stauffer. First line, back together, Nugent Hopkins, McDavid, Hyman. Second line, Tyler, you've been asking for this one for a while now. McLeod, Draisaitl, Fogle, back together.
I wrote it. Yeah, Liam and I have been harping on this. I wrote this the other day in my Henrik recap article up at OilersNation.com. I love this. This is the new spine play. Going McDavid, Draisaitl, Henrik down the middle. This gives you really, really good depth. Borderline unmatched center depth. And McDavid, Draisaitl, Fogle is really good together. That trio showed they can produce. So I'm in on this. I love these line combos.
Third line is Kane, Henrik, Perry. That line can cause some chaos.
Yeah, I think if they're all engaged, they'll be really hard to play against.
Perry scored a big goal the other day.
Off a shot from Kane.
Janmark, Carrick, Brown is the fourth line. We've got Derek Ryan as the extra forward today. What are you guys looking at over there?
Just big news coming out of San Jose. Some allegations.
Interesting.
What'd that be? Text me.
Yeah.
About, yeah, it's
text in the group. I would
it's
like
early
to
moments of the news dropping, so I don't want to say anything just yet.
All right. Text me. I want to see it. Yep. D pairings are Ekholm, Bouchard, Nurse, Desharnais, Kulak, CeCe. How are we feeling about Nurse and Desharnais as a pairing?
I think you got to let it fly. I think you got to give it a go. I think they gave Nurse and CeCe obviously a really long runway. And I think now it's try and find something different. And you know what? If ultimately it doesn't work and just go back, I guess. Like, what does it matter at that point?
What are you guys doing for goalie splits this weekend? Who gets what?
I might play him, Stu Skinner in both and then just play pick it on Wednesday.
No.
Why?
No, Liam.
Why?
Don't play goalies in back-to-back games. The numbers tell you that's a terrible idea.
Show me all the numbers. Pull them up.
I can't pull them up right now.
Mustn't have them then. I'm going to say.
That's insane. You recognize that's insane, right?
No, I mean, he's definitely out of there. Don't look at me like that.
If you were Chris Knobloch, you would play Stuart Skinner both games of a back-to-back.
I would seriously consider it because your next game isn't until Wednesday and you play Washington.
Pickard Sunday against Pittsburgh.
If you go back and listen to After Dark, I wanted Skinner to last night against Columbus because I would have liked to have played Pickard tomorrow morning.
That would have been the play.
But hindsight's 20/20. The only way you can go now is Skinner tomorrow and Pickard on Sunday.
Disagree. Skinner back-to-back.
Who's right? Dan and Tyler or Liam out on an island?
Is it that crazy?
A little bit. Yeah, now it is. 100% it is.
Out of 10, how crazy is it?
I just can't see any scenario where it just doesn't happen.
I think they might do it.
I like the cheeky grin on your face. You're up to mischief and you know what you're doing. You're trolling. Liam is trolling on the podcast today. He's tired. He wants to go home. Nope. The correct answer is Stu tomorrow. Got to win in Buffalo. Pickard back in the net against the Penguins. He beat them last week. Or no, that was Stu last week.
Stu.
Was it?
Yep. Oh, no.
No, it was Pickard last week.
It wasn't a shutout. It was 6-1.
Yeah, 6-1. So Pickard going for a double dose of Penguins.
If the Oilers played any kind of good opponent on Wednesday, then I would say split it this weekend and then play Skinner on Wednesday. But I just think like play Washington. Still got some good players, of course. Alexander Ovechkin, pretty good. But this schedule is kind of weird right now. You have back-to-backs this weekend, then you play Wednesday, then you play Saturday, then you play Tuesday.
Oh my Lord.
It's just kind of all over. Dan's text message. Oh yeah.
Like what?
Pretty weird title, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot there to unpack probably. Not here. No. Not here. You can try and figure it out on your own time.
Save it for
time for a little betting talk, courtesy of our friends at Bet99. It didn't work for me yesterday. I don't think. I haven't looked at my sports book. Did we get our blocks parlay last night?
No, we didn't.
Nah. Damn it. Come on, man.
Who missed?
Which one of these jabronis didn't get me my money?
I think they both did.
All right.
God damn it.
Rats.
It didn't look.
We were fired up.
We all thought we were spending free money. We thought Bet99 was going to be paying for our weekend.
Where's blocks on the NHL?
I got it. Okay, so last night, Vincent Desharnais.
So the bet we all did, we rode together, was over 2.5 blocks for Vinny Desharnais and over 2.5 blocks for what's his nuts. What was the other guy's name?
Gudbranson.
Gudbranson.
Two.
Come on, man.
I mean, Vinny had zero.
Vinny sacrificed the body, man.
Not a lot of blocks yesterday.
Do you want to win or do you want to lose? You sacrificed that body, Vinny.
Pickard had a 909 yesterday.
He had a Pickard was solid.
He was fine, yeah.
He was solid. The goals that went in, I don't hang on him at all.
That was good.
The giveaways were egregious. Annoying.
Odd man rush after odd man rush after odd.
Unbelievable. Anyway, I want to talk about Bet99. Ready? They are the number one online gaming experience in Canada. They are built by Canadians for Canadians. Liam, that's not for you. Elevate your experience at Bet99. Experience Bet99's same game parlays, player props, flash bet markets, fast payouts, and smooth transactions. Bet99, go sign up today, provided that you are 19 plus. You don't live in Ontario. Please play responsibly. A couple of things I want to throw at you guys here. Do you know that the Stanley Cup favorites odds have changed courtesy of our friends at Bet99?
So who was it when we last?
When we last discussed, Liam, the Edmonton Oilers were favored to win the Stanley Cup. They were plus 700. Now we've got a new contender as a favorite. The Florida Panthers are listed as the favorites at plus 675.
Who did they add?
Tarasenko
and
Okposo.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okposo. I forgot Okposo still exists.
512 games played in Sabres.
Do you know that that's how they said goodbye to their captain was being like, he played a lot of games.
The graphic said, thank you, Kyle Okposo, 512 games played in Sabres.
I don't know why I think that's so funny. It's just like, you are our captain.
And he was the captain of the team. Yeah. That's
for like a long time.
Four games played.
Four games played.
You didn't do anything else, but you were there.
Not even like a grade in the community like they usually do on bad teams. It's just like games played.
You played games and thank you for that.
I also like the Colorado Avalanche, who did like big thank you graphics for everybody except for Curtis McDermott because he got traded earlier in the week. They just did a photo of him and it was like, thanks. And then everybody else is like, thank you, Stanley Cup champion. Thank you.
How do you feel about Stanley Cup favorite Florida Panthers at plus 675 at Bet99?
So I think most of the elite teams in the NHL reside in the Western Conference. Edmonton, Vegas, Vancouver, Dallas, Colorado, and Dallas.
Winnipeg, yeah.
They probably
Winnipeg, sorry. But the thing is, Florida's one of those elite teams, and the Eastern Conference kind of stinks in relation to the West. So it makes sense that they're the favorites because they might have an easier path to the final.
The Vegas Golden Knights make an appearance in the top 10 at number 9. I don't know how much of these have been adjusted so far today. We don't know if the money's pouring in or if it's not. But currently at plus 1150, the Vegas Golden Knights for the Stanley Cup for a little repeat performance. I find that interesting.
I wasn't a massive Oilers fan. I would consider that.
I'm a fan of money.
Consider the Tampa Bay Lightning at plus 2,700 too. Although
I like this bet too. You guys want to know about the Rangers? Which division wins the Stanley Cup? I find this one interesting. Currently the favored division to win the Stanley Cup is the Atlantic division at plus 230. Followed by the Pacific at plus 275, the Central at plus 320, and then the Metro is also at plus 320.
What was the Central?
Plus 320.
And that's third?
That's the bet.
Tied for third.
That's you're going to give me Colorado, Winnipeg, and Dallas?
And Nashville?
That's surprising. Maybe not
Nashville. You've been a rascal today.
It seems like the bettors there are picking the division that has the cream rising to the top, the best. So they're picking the team that they think they know is going to be there. But yeah, I think you're right. Oh, if you look at a division that has better teams.
Here's another one. The winning conference, the Western Conference is even money.
It's a steal.
The East is minus 120.
How's the East minus 120? That doesn't make sense to me.
It's bonkers.
I think the West is just way better.
Yeah, I completely agree.
How about this one? To win the Pacific Division, Vancouver running away with it minus 360. That's boring. You don't bet there. The Edmonton Oilers up next plus 350. Are you interested in a plus 350 to the Edmonton Oilers to win the Pacific Division?
That I'm pretty sure that's implied odds of like 18% or something like that. If the Oilers win their games in hand, they'll gain 8 points. They'll be at 86, three back. You beat the Canucks, you're one back. Like, I don't hate that as much as I kind of thought I would. That's decent.
There you go. It's a little betting talk brought to you by our friends at Bet99. Of course, Bet99 is proud to have sponsorships with Georges St-Pierre, Olivier Aubin-Mercier, CF Montreal, Georges Laroque, and Canadian Grand Prix.
Wow. I'm going to put my money on Vegas to miss the playoffs at plus 335.
I respect your decision.
Thank you. That's where I'll be going.
I respect your decision. Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Good there.
Yeah, got it covered.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Couple of questions coming up, boys. Ask the idiots for our friends at Nation Gear. We have got the Robin Brownlee auction still up at nationgear.ca. And this week's auction prize is date night with Jay and Tyler. You want to go to the game with the boys? You got it. How about a little pregame at Greta? You got it.
Drinks post-game? Game.
You can run up Jay's credit card.
There's only 45 minutes left in the auction.
It is at $825 though.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's option, I should say. All the proceeds going to the Brownlees. We're going to help them out. Obviously, Robin Brownlee was a huge reason that all of us are sitting here today. He was the first author that Wanye and Jay brought in to the network that had any gravitas whatsoever. So we're trying to raise some money for Robin Brownlee. Like Tyler said, you probably missed it. But for $825, some lucky bidder and a friend are going to spend an evening with Jay and Tyler. Keep your eyes on nationgear.ca. We're going to have more auction items coming up as the weeks go along, but that's where we're at today. The Robin Brownlee auction's got 40 minutes left for date night with Jay and Tyler. You're going to the game. Probably.
Yes, you are. You're going to the game, drinks and dinner before it, Greta, all that stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're excited to go with whoever wins the bid. Let's just get to ask the idiots.
You know what? Our friends at Greta will probably kick in a free game card, probably.
I think they will.
They probably will. They're good like that. Ask the idiots. First one comes in from Kevin. Liam, you're first. What is Mike Greer doing?
Mike Greer was clearing cap space for the future of the San Jose franchise. Unfortunately, it was at the cost of the Edmonton Oilers, his former team.
Did Mike Greer sign the Tomas Hurdle deal?
No.
So he's getting out from underneath somebody else's work, and it's ugly. Good. It ain't pretty. Tomas Hurdle is 30 years old. He's going to be a 36-year-old. Vegas Golden Knight? Not at all. I think that Vegas will get out from underneath that as well. But I think Greer is just trying to get out from underneath some
Tyler, issues. What's Mike Greer doing?
I'll describe his work today as an unforced error. There was no reason to have to trade Hurdle right now. You could have waited till the summer and maybe seen if there was a market. It's basically two pick swaps and you kept money. I just, to keep that much money, I didn't like it.
I just wonder how many teams are going to call him and be like, we'll give you pretty much 2 first-round picks for Thomas Hurdle for his 5 years left on his deal.
And you have to keep a total of $8 to $10 million over the course of his contract and give us 2 third-round picks. Keep in mind.
I don't know. I think it's not bad.
Vegas's first round.
Shushed.
I know. I'm sorry. Vegas's late first round picks. San Jose early thirds. That gap isn't big.
But you just need the picks to make the play to get the players.
He did get Klim Kostin.
That was yeah.
Shout our boy Klim going to San Jose.
Can't
wait. Wild that it just like did not work out for him in Detroit at all.
I miss him.
I miss him too.
Yeah, it'd be nice to.
I miss him for the memes.
Mr. Clean.
A question for you guys just before I'll ask an idiot question here. Do we think that the value, the perceived value ahead of the trade deadline was what we saw today, higher or lower?
Shifted hard towards the buyer's market.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, because Barry Trotz was saying the prices are unruly, unbelievable or whatever they were a couple of days
everyone
ago.
Everyone wants your best players.
Mm, of course.
Everyone wants your best prospect. Everyone wants all your first round picks.
And like, then from a seller perspective, you're like, I want the moon. And then as the deadline gets closer, you go, ah, fuck, I'll take a fourth.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Arizona did with Dumba and Zucker. Probably could have got a little bit more for those guys.
Yeah, they're kind of losers in this whole thing. If they would have been willing to keep money, they could have gotten better assets. Mm.
Question number two, Tyler Yaremchuk. This one comes in from Naeem. Would you rather win the division if it means playing Vegas is as a wild card team or come in second place and play LA with home ice? Asked this on Twitter and the results were very mixed. I'd love to know what the boys say.
Post deadline, give me LA every day of the week, especially with home ice. Yes.
Yeah.
LA. I'm also in on LA. Like the Oilers can score on big save, Dave.
Let's get Vegas early. Get him out of the way. Got to beat him anyways, probably.
I want to win the Stanley Cup. I do not care about winning the Pacific Division. So LA is the easiest path to it, right?
Question number three.
A good team eventually.
Question number three. Is there any trades that happened today in the NHL that you wish the Oilers would have made or been a part of?
Toffoli for me.
Toffoli's for me too. Like the second and a third or whatever it was.
Duclair for me too. Would have been a useful NHLer. He had a 4.9 the other night.
I'm still annoyed that the Flames didn't give us Chris Tanev. I mean, I know that wasn't today, but I feel like that would have really helped the Oilers going forward. Maybe they don't get what they got done if that trade goes through, but that would have been one for me. But Toffoli for sure today.
Just for the feels alone, Patrick Maroon. I would have loved to have seen him come to Edmonton. I know the money wouldn't have
worked. Can Maroon and Perry exist on the same team though?
Yes, they did for a while.
Okay.
I would say the one, can I pick Thomas Hurdle?
Sure.
Yeah, I would have loved that for the Oilers. Yeah, that would have been a good one.
We would have had to move out Evander Kane.
Yeah, that would have been, great. Back to the Sharks. That would have worked out.
Speaking of Evander Kane. Fined $2,500 for unsportsmanlike conduct after last night's game. And we were all like, what happened? He didn't even get a 2-minute minor. Our friend Matt Larkin was on the case. He stuck somebody in the bench in the second period at some point as he was skating by. Not allowed to do that.
How do the refs just miss that?
Tyler.
I just think
you're asking that question. How did the refs miss a call?
I feel like he was just pointing at a stain aggressively.
Do you know? I feel like there was a mosquito on someone and he was just trying to get it.
What should have been a call was a slash on Pickett that Boone Jenner laid.
I agree.
Or maybe even a fine.
I think that that's where the NHL, that's where fights are supposed to happen.
I completely agree. Yeah. Matthias Ekholm has got this thing where he just doesn't want to fight anybody or be a dick about it. Last night he was both times it was the Boone Jenner one where he basically did nothing about it.
Yeah.
And then there was the one later on in the game. I don't know who the Columbus player was, but he just skated over really quickly to Pickett and just jabbed him right in the side. And Ekholm just stood there against Calgary. He got cross-checked by Huberdeau in the corner when it was that big scrum. Did nothing. It's like, you cannot be called the Viking and then do basically nothing about
it. It goes against your roots.
It's so silly. Like Vinny and Nurse would never.
That's why I like an addition of like a guy like Sam Carrick, because he's just going to show the rest of the team what it's like to just be like, you know what? I'm fucking annoyed with you and I'm going to punch you. And that's it.
Yeah.
And I think like, you know, there's a chunk of Oilers fans who are upset with Evander Kane, but like come playoff time, he's one of those guys that's if he's on the ice and shenanigans going down, he's in the pile.
Why are you being so polarizing?
That is a thing that I don't get. So today I wrote the article about Evander Kane's $2,500 fine. And I said, it's been a polarizing season for the Edmonton Oilers forward, who's got 21 goals, which is a solid season, but there are times where the inconsistencies have us wanting more, which I thought was a very fair statement. Pretty beyond down fair. The middle.
Incredibly.
I took shit on Twitter, on the site, for calling it polarizing because no one's mad at Evander Kane. I'm a fucking idiot.
Sounds like those people confirmed it's polarizing.
You would think so, but then you would have to know the definition of the word, Tyler.
Like, you did not say it was good or bad. You said some people love him, some people hate him, and then people showed they loved him.
Because on this podcast, I've defended him countless times. I'm a big Evander Kane guy. I don't understand. Like, you can't just say whatever. This isn't my first day on the internet, Liam. I should know better. You know?
Sometimes I wish it was my last.
Whoa.
Jesus, buddy.
Well, just on the internet. Everybody loves you, Liam. Everyone loves
you. Oh, that's cold.
This team, I love the Oilers and I love our fan base, but boy, oh boy, it is an emotional roller coaster.
We love to argue, don't we?
I said on the live show today too, I was like, if they had won last night, our reactions would have been so different to how this deadline went, I think.
Yeah.
100%. It was just a bad game. It was a bad game.
Coming to this, you get the disappointment right away of Eberle, and it's just...
The last time the Oilers had such upheaval in their roster at the trade deadline was 2006, and that team took 2 weeks to figure shit out. Like, I remember articles being written about, is Dwayne Rolison the answer? And you know, not exactly that, because I'm sure the answer was just a thing we've come up with.
Well, that was Al Montoya was the original answer.
But yeah, I mean, like, these are like, you could clearly see out of the two players that were added to the lineup last minute You just knew who they were because they just looked out of place still. It's that unbridled emotion that I hope comes together as this team now starts to gel in the roster that we've created.
Just before we wrap up the podcast with Hot and Cold Performers, what were your first kind of impressions of Adam Hounrick and Sam Carrick?
Didn't really notice Hounrick too much, to be honest, but...
Which is what I expected, to be honest, in his first game. Did he have one practice? One skate, even?
I think the morning skate. Practice.
The morning skate, yeah.
I thought Carrick was fine. He had to fight, and then he had, like, one good offensive zone shift that I saw. But, again, like, it's not like anybody stood out yesterday, is it?
Tyler, first impressions?
Yeah, same as Liam. I didn't think anyone really stood out. I like Carrick's tilt. Hounrick made a couple of like plays where you can kind of see the hockey IQ coming through, which is encouraging, but I'm not putting much stock in a game one.
It's a weird thing to say as a highlight for Adam Hounrick, but he had a shot from the slot that ended up missing the net, and you just go, man, this guy can zip it.
I liked Henrique's play away from the puck. His forecheck is aggressive. You could still see like flourishes of that again, and maybe that'll get taught out of him, but just, yeah, you see some defensive things and just that effort out of him. So yeah, early returns are good.
Let's wrap up the podcast, gentlemen. For our friends at Greta, your spot pre and post game, go on in, get yourself a little cocktail, get yourself a little manche, play some games while you're at it, pre and post game. Why not? You see Tyler there, you challenge him at that football game.
You'll never win.
You won't. Challenge Liam. You might have a better opportunity. I saw a video of you not hitting one target.
That was a made up video.
That was Waz doing you dirty. That's what that was.
I had so many better rounds that night. And that's when he posted.
And he captured none of them.
He got a video of me on the basketball game and I hit it 6 times in a row and he didn't post.
I think he deleted it right afterwards.
Like, this won't do. Delete. The comments were funny on that football video though.
Waz is a classic troll on socials. Doing it to his teammates. Bad in the room. Honorary cold performer, Waz, for his work at Greta. just kidding, Waz. You know I love you. All right. Cold performer time. Tyler, you're up first. For our friends at Greta, what do you got? What's your cold performer this week?
People who bitch about free content. In today's media landscape, you can basically...
Why? What happened?
You can basically find anything anywhere that you want to watch. You can pick the voices you like in the tone you want your news delivered, which some would maybe argue is a bit of a problem. But regardless, people who just flood the comment sections and are like, this is bullshit. I hate this. I'm done reading your stuff. This show sucks. It's like... It's not like the old days where there's like one sports radio station on the dial or whatever. Like, you can go anywhere. And the people who bitch about free content drive me bananas.
I'm with you.
Don't care.
How's Dan?
We are in the other studio today, so I got buttons that I'm not used to having anymore. Liam, you're up next for our friends at Greta. What's your cold performer of the week?
I saw this one, but on Monday, I play in a co-ed league.
We would like an update.
A bunch of my friends, my co-ed league.
Oh, this isn't the golf thing.
No, not the golf thing. The golf thing is in the clear until the other guy fully recovers. And my team's pretty good. We're first in the league. We never really ride up the score. In the second half, we usually up. So we like,
what sport is this?
It's just a soccer team.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I was like, a bunch of guys have I played with and now girlfriends and stuff. So anyway, we're in this game and we're winning 5-0 and we score a sixth. Bear in mind, it's like late in the second half and they've really, it's been a fairly clean game. And the goalie just loses his mind. He's like, what do you guys have to prove? It's like, when I play a sport, I also want to have fun and try and score goals and be competitive too. Nope. It's not my job to make sure you also have a good time by me not being good. So there you go. People who are losers.
Ah, shit.
I'll piggyback on that. Last night in my beer league game, I had a guy sucker punch me in the back of the head. Got a five minute major in a game misconduct. And when he was leaving the ice, said, write about this on your blog with a few other words. So there you go, buddy. Here's your shout out. Enjoy your beer league hockey suspension, you goof.
I can't stand playing men's league anything anymore. It's so annoying how like over the top it all is. No one has any discipline.
There's so many hardos in adult sports where it's supposed to be like beer league, just going out there and getting your laps in and stuff. It is wild. Horrible. Nation Dan, you're up. Your cold performer of the week for our friends at Greta.
My cold performer of the week is going to go to Ric Flair for ghosting Gene Principe.
Yes.
Outrageous behavior by you, Rick.
See, as you can see, the more you fuck around, the more you're going to find out.
We got good buttons on this
one. Button.
We got really good buttons.
Super here. Aggressive towards Rick.
You're just going to say Rick from Oilers Nation.
Yes. Yeah. Rick Weidman Flair.
Woo! Sure enough.
Except his isn't woo, it's let's fucking go. My cold performer of the week is all of us as Oilers fans. We are just in the mood to fight all the time. Mm-hmm. And today was one of those days where, again, I was just writing about Evander Kane getting $2,500 fine. I wrote a news release and I'm the asshole for writing about it. So just like today was one of those days where I was just like, yep, we're on the internet. So fuck us all.
So I felt last Sunday when I wrote about Holloway going down to the American League.
Yeah. You took
like, it'll never happen.
And then what happened? And then what happened? Let's finish off the podcast with some bright news, ladies and gentlemen. It is the hot performer of the week, Nation. Dan, you're up first.
Well, I'm just going to take the easy one off the board. I'm sure you guys might have some more to say, but I'm just going to give it out to the entire Nation Network team. It is so cool to be a part of something. And I think that we're watching sports media change right before our
real
eyes.
Time.
And we are on the front edge of something new and exciting. And so to be a part of that, to watch all of you guys do the things that you did to make deadline day as special as it is, get my hot performer of the week.
We the best.
Liam Harbin, you're up next. Mine's hot performer of the week.
Sorry. Mine's kind of similar, but I've not really thought about it too much, but I thought about it today. Like this week for Oilers Nation Every Day was just kind of crazy. Like we started the week by interviewing Chris Pronger. And then the next day we had Luke Gazdick, and I know just like former NHLers and everything. And then we had Colby Cohen on the show the other week and like and Carter Hunt. And it's just like, it's kind of crazy. And then everyone who watched the show. So just kind of,
Pronger, Gazdick, trade, and then deadline.
Yeah. Like on Thursday we did the show with like, or was it Wednesday? Wednesday. And it was like 5,000 people watching. It's just kind of crazy to think that Tyler and I talk to that many people when we just talk to each other.
Jones barbecue and foot massage. Jones barbecue and foot massage.
It's been a while since I've been able to give you the button, you know?
Isn't my version on there?
Jones barbecue and foot massage.
Tyler, you're up. You're Greta hot performer of the week.
I'm going to give it to Joey Votto, who signed a minor league camp invite deal with the Toronto Blue Jays. Canadian baseball goat Joey Votto looking to finish off his career on a high note. I love it. I love these kind of feel good stories. I'm such a sucker for a Canadian signing with the Blue Jays as well. So shout out Joey Votto.
Getting me armchair GM horny.
That was me all day.
Is he going to play for the Jays?
Outside chance. Yeah, I could see it.
DH kind of thing?
Yeah, like a DH, Vladdy's backup kind of thing.
All right. So I was also going to just give some love to the entire Nation Network team for what happened today. There is a lot of people and a lot of work that goes into making a live broadcast like the trade deadline special we had for Daily Faceoff Live. There was graphic designers, a team of them, working on the graphics, the animations that were as part of this year's show. There was the producer's room that stunk like farts and feet, where there was boys. Aaron, Pat, and Liam just kind of hunkered in there, making everything go behind the scenes.
I was laying on the floor most of the day.
You have a sore back? Or you're trying to get away from the farts?
This chair, bit of both.
Okay. And then on the social side, was Brett and Robert Munich down in Calgary. And Gavin here in Edmonton as well, just cutting up clips, posting them, making the graphics in real time. That all takes a lot of work, a lot of coordination. And I just thought that the communication between the team was really cool, whether it was happening on Slack behind the scenes, or even just in group chats, or even just having people in the Oodle Noodle War Room yelling at each other throughout the day. I'm really proud of what the company has become. I talked last week about how it was my 10-year anniversary full-time at Oilers Nation and just like where that was my first day at the company. Again, paycheck bounced to having a room full of people working on a trade deadline show like today. It was just pretty fucking cool. And again, to see the numbers, 100,000 live viewers on Twitter watching you guys do your thing. Super proud of you. Super, super happy with the way it went. And I don't really have too much else to say other than that, so I'm going to play this one.
That's me. That's you.
What about this one?
Who is that one?
That one's me.
When we were in this studio, Tyler. You let us get away with a lot more things.
We should bring all these buttons over to the other studio. Like, they're great.
Wait, okay. Hold on.
What about this one?
What can you say?
What can you say about a great day at the Nation Network? We're going to wrap up the podcast. We're going to say thank you to all the sponsors. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Before we wrap it up, I need a score prediction for tomorrow against the Buffalo Sabres. 10:30 a.m. on a Saturday, Tyler.
What the fuck? I'll say the Oilers at 10:30 win 10-3.
Liam Horbin, your score prediction tomorrow against the Sabres.
I'm going to say the Edmonton Oilers, who are the best team in the Western Conference, will win 3-1.
Dan?
8-2. Edmonton Oilers victory over the Buffalo
Sabres. Edmonton Oilers 4-2 victory over the Sabres, reversing the order. Dan, you're up against Pittsburgh. 2-for-1 on a score prediction.
3-1 Pittsburgh final.
Oh, how dare you. Liam?
Please. 6-1 Oilers.
And Tyler.
6-3 Oilers.
Big 4-2 win coming on Sunday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.